Muslim immigrant communities are relatively newer and smaller than East Asians or Latinos, but they get more than their share of attention. Since 9/11, surveillance of Muslims has been on the rise. New York City made national news in February when the Associated Press broke the story about the NYPD spying on area mosques. Here's one of the story's authors, Matt Apuzzo, who won a Pulitzer Prize for that reporting, talking on the PBS NewsHour.
They are building these profiles of where Muslims live, eat, shop, pray, where they watch sports, where they go to internet cafes. It's an incredible process by which they're bringing in information about the Northeast Muslims.
Well, about a month later, in March, we received similar news much closer to home. The ACLU announced it had documents showing that the FBI spied on mosques here in the Bay Area between 2004 and 2008. Zahra Bilu is executive director of the Bay Area chapter of CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which is working with the ACLU on the issue. She came by our studios, and I asked her what the federal agents actually did.
So they would visit these mosques under the guise of building community relationships, really sort of trying to build trust with the community, saying, we're here to protect and serve. We want you to get to know us so that you always have a contact at the FBI. And because of this guise of outreach, many leaders and activists opened up to the FBI. They thought, you know, it's really important for us to have this relationship with law enforcement. And what we learned was that this was, in fact, a betrayal of the community because these weren't outreach visits. What was happening was you would have agents go in, do a visit, take all sorts of notes detailing everything from who's Sunni or Shia to how many women are in the room and who's planning on, you know, going on the pilgrimage to Mecca, and then putting that information in intelligence files and sharing it with the intelligence units in the FBI and also outside of the FBI. So it was shared with other agencies as well. And that's incredibly frightening, and the community feels really betrayed.
The Associated Press just won a Pulitzer Prize for its reporting outing this NYPD program that spied on the New York and New Jersey Muslim populations. You know, we San Franciscans like to think we do things differently here. And do we know if SFPD may be doing the same?
So we're working on a campaign right now in San Francisco through a group called the Coalition for a Safe San Francisco that is looking to pass an ordinance that would put into place protections to ensure that SFPD does not become the next NYPD. Many major cities across the country have what are called joint terrorism task forces, where the FBI and the SFPD or the local agencies will collaborate to work on counterterrorism issues. And so in San Francisco, there is such an agency. The SFPD has anywhere from 2 to 3 officers placed there full time at any given day. And for the 2 years that we've been working on this campaign, what's been most interesting is this conflict about which standards SFPD officers are accountable to. San Francisco leadership says, well, they're accountable to our standards and our local values and our civil rights protections. And the FBI says, no, SFPD officers who are assigned to work with us are only accountable to the FBI standards. We know that federal law enforcement civil rights protections are a floor, not a ceiling. And particularly in a national security context 10 years post 9/11, that floor has really sunk. And so it's really important that San Francisco officers are held accountable to San Francisco standards.
So the FBI says, you know, specifically about the 2004 to 2008 documents, that was then and this is now. You know, we've built some good relationships in the Bay Area Muslim community. So what's the response to that?
The response to the FBI's posturing that this has changed is contradicted by the simple fact that there are documents that continue to note this kind of outreach happening even past 2008. And so though the policies may have changed at some level, we continue to see this type of problematic outreach and or mapping of the Muslim community happening even today.
Mapping.
Yeah, I think that's an appropriate word, is that they are drawing out where the mosques are, where the Yemenis are, where the Sunnis are, where the Shias are, who is devout and who is not. And it's incredibly frightening to see law enforcement taking account of our religious beliefs and practices.
And when they come for kind of an outreach visit, what does it look like? What does it look like if you're kind of there, a fly on the wall? What do you see?
a lot of times they are attending open house events or interfaith events where everyone is invited and the doors are open.
And they come, they say, we are FBI.
A lot of times they will identify themselves as, you know, I am, you know, such and such with the outreach unit of the San Francisco FBI office. And so they'll register that way. They're not hiding in most cases. I mean, and there's definitely cases and complaints of people of law enforcement going into mosques to spy undercover. And I think that's a whole separate conversation. But in these cases, in outreach cases, they are identifying themselves as FBI. When there was an arson at one of the Tennessee mosques in 2010, it followed sort of a number of other hate incidents. And as a result, the FBI started attending the mosque just once in a while, dropping in, hanging out in the back. And they meant well. And they meant to, you know, assure the community that they had law enforcement there to help them. But it frightened people because we also know about all of the other really problematic practices that the FBI engages in. And an interesting sort of comparison between the targeting of the FBI and the Muslim community and how that undermines trust is an example that's used in secure communities conversations. Many people argue that when local police departments engage in secure communities, which requires that they submit information about all arrests to ICE, that victims of domestic violence are afraid to call law enforcement because they want to call law enforcement so that the beating will stop, not so that the children, the parent of their children will be deported. And so they need to be able to trust law enforcement to get help on the issues that they need help on. Similarly, in the Muslim community, as the FBI continues to engage in this, people are afraid to call in hate crimes because they don't want their name to end up in an intelligence file.